I'll get right away to a question I know you addressed in your year-end availability, but I think is something that fans will be interested in particular. You know, now that sports venues are reopening to 100% in this province and indeed around the country and around the continent, are there any trends? I know it's early, but are there any trends or sort of touch points you are interested in seeing, you know, whether it's the Leafs or the Raptors or wherever, just in terms of fans coming back, tickets being sold, how people react to even concessions, things of that nature?
I'm not sure. I mean, I think, again, yes, you learn from everything, you know, that's happened. I mean, the U.S. obviously is on a, you know, not maybe not justifiably, but is on certainly a much more rapid pace and kind of opening up stadiums and arenas so we can, and we've seen that it's a gradual progression, you know, from people coming out, you know, some people coming out to the stadiums being packed and sold out. So I'm going to imagine we will see similar things, you know, here, although I'm not sure arenas and open-air stadiums are identical in the way people feel and react. But I think our responsibility and the things that we need to focus on are ensuring that we create both an environment and systems that make people feel as safe as possible. Obviously, the greatest thing that contributes towards that is the rate of vaccination here, which is among the best in the world. So April's a long time in the world that we've been living in before we're back playing again here. A lot of time to kind of watch what happens. But among the things that we have to do this off season, Jeff, that's not one we have a lot of control over. So it'll just be kind of watching and learning, not necessarily reacting.
How creative will you have to be, or how flexible will you have to be in terms of ticketing? And I understand, I know that there's we have a long way to go, but in order to get fans back in the stands, clearly a winning team is number one. It's a big thing. An exciting team, which this team is a big thing. But has there been any thought given to creative packaging or just sort of different ways of maybe pulling folks back in here?
I mean, the bulk of my thought is winning. So
okay. You know,
I just don't think there's a bigger lever, but we've got people who are far more experts in sales thinking about, I know they came up with like a quarter, you know, packs that are a quarter season packs. But again, that's not something I have a lot of experience in, you know, and my job's always been to hire really good people who think in those ways. What I've experienced is if you win, those things take care of themselves. And since we have the team we've got, you know, I'm not going to focus a lot of time on creative, you know, mm-hmm. bells and whistles that, you know, get 10% more people here. I think that if we, that you couldn't have a more compelling, more exciting, more fun team to watch than our team. So it's just a matter of, you know, do people feel safe? Because we're going to be we're going to be must-watch baseball for anybody that loves the game of baseball.
What are your expectations when it comes to payroll for 2022?
To have a payroll that supports us, you know, continuing to take the next step and to field a team that's capable of winning the World Series.
What have you identified as your priorities going into the off season?
We're doing that right now, Kevin. It's not like a 5-minute conversation. I mean, all of us have opinions watching us play all year, you know, handedness, you know, a little more balance in both approach and handedness in the lineup, you know, replacing the production from the guys that are free agents, either by bringing them back or other people, you know, continuing to improve the defense, improve the bullpen. There are a variety of things, but you got to be careful too. If you're always just reacting to the most recent, you know, performances, then you're just going to be, you know, opening up another set of issues. So I think, again, it's always to build the most balanced club you can possibly do that scores the most runs and prevents the most runs. There are always multiple ways to do that. And when you go in to execute an off-season plan, you've got to have the agility and flexibility to adapt to where the most talent lies. And some of those things may be addressing the biggest gaps directly. Others may be strengthening the club even further in a way we already have a strength. So in the end, I would just say score more runs, prevent more runs, and we'll get better.
early days and all that, but do you have a sense how soon Robbie Ray and Marcus Semien may make decisions? As I said, I understand the free agency isn't open yet, but is it something you and Ross, you'd like an answer on quickly when it does open, so you could pivot off it if perhaps there isn't an opportunity to sign either of them?
No, I mean, what we like for our self-interest and balance with the right that they've earned, to explore the market, those players, it's Kevin can speak to it, but those players, work extremely hard for their lives to earn the right to become a free agent. And once they get to that point, they deserve it. I appreciate that and understand that, to get a full understanding of what the alternatives are out there. So that's not going to be quick. I mean, maybe it'll be quick in one of the cases, or because we're aligned and they really want to stay here. But I think that's unlikely. So it's going to require patience. It's going to require us examining alternatives as well, in case they don't come here for a variety of reasons. But we've got only positive relationships with all three guys, and I think all three guys want to ensure that we're an option and alternative for them as they go through their decision-making process.
You may answer this in my last question, but if third base is a priority for you guys, what did you see and think of Santiago Espinal, and do you think he could be a starter at the big league level, being an everyday third baseman?
I mean, I don't think third base is his prototypical position, but again, I think he's a part of a championship team and, really encouraged by his performance last year, and think if he continues to get stronger, and can drive the ball, even a little more, that he's got a chance to be an everyday player.
And just to kind of jump in on Kevin's question there, Mark, you've got a couple of infielders in the minor league system, Jordan Groshans and Aurelvis Martinez, that a lot of people have been talking about. Do you see either of them at some point, maybe not this year, maybe not the year after, filling that third base role internally?
They're great prospects that we're excited about. When it comes to prospects, I mean, I'm probably going to be a little redundant with things you've heard me say in the past when we talked about Bo and Vladdy, but if we're having to make a decision when they get here or forecast that, then we got a good chance to make a bad decision. So my answer to you would be, I'm extremely excited about both those guys. They're both extremely young, doing some really impressive things throughout the landscape of the entire minor leagues. When they're ready to be in the conversation for Toronto, you'll know it. They'll be a AAA, and they will be performing at a level that says, we're ready for the next level. We're not getting challenged by this level anymore. One guy was in A-ball last year, and the other guy was in AA and had very good years. So let's have that conversation a year from now, or maybe they speed that up during the season next year. But that's not part of our planning right now.
Mark, when I played, I think there was such a thing as untouchable prospects. Does that exist in today's way of thinking?
I've never, in 30 years of doing the job, there's no such thing. I mean, I think that doesn't mean that the deal someone would have to put together to get a prospect would be unrealistic. That could make a guy, in some ways untouchable, but there's a value, for every single player. I think what's more important is understanding that we have to have balance on our roster, that we've got to maintain a healthy, strong, vibrant farm system in order to have a sustainable team. And that, while we've demonstrated that we're willing to trade young players at the right time, there always has to be a commitment to maintaining that kind of pipeline of talent coming up. Otherwise, you'll fall off a cliff at some point.
A question from Max in Toronto, who wanted to know, with the success that the Red Sox and Yankees had this year, although I guess we can argue about the success the Yankees had, but with them being where they are and with Tampa Bay being where they are, he was wondering how much pressure you feel to spend in free agency, to show the young core that you were that you're serious about winning.
I mean, I feel pressure, and we all feel pressure to get better. And I'm just happy that getting better is one, two, or three games and not 20 like it was 2 years ago. So if you don't wake up feeling pressure, you're doing the wrong job and in the wrong business. And the landscape that we've got in AL East, you know, is just part of the reality that, that always existed. But, you know, I do feel like our team is as talented, if not more talented, than any team in the AL East. The year of experience is going to help us. A year of maturity with our young players is going to help us. And we will supplement and you know, with players around them.
Mark, I'm wondering now that the 2021 season has, you know, for some teams has ended, the minor league season has certainly ended as well, and I know the Arizona Fall League has started up. Will there be a process, or will there be a time where people kind of sit down and try to figure out what exactly the absence of, you know, a minor league season in 2020, what effect it had on the development of players?
Yeah, it's a good question, Jeff. I think it's going to take years to kind of understand that fully. You know, we certainly dealt with a greater number of injuries last year. Fortunately, they were smaller in nature, but, you know, that time off, you know, for some people and other people, you know, like an Alek Manoah who had 9 minor league starts prior to what he did last year, it didn't seem to have any impact at all. So I think it's hard to generalize that across an entire population. But for most mortal players, to miss a full year of development will have some impact. But everybody's playing. Anytime something happens that impacts all teams universally, it's harder to determine what the impact is because we're all dealing with the same set of circumstances. It's more of an issue if, like, one team deals with that or one of 3 teams kind of thing.
RJ and Almiro wanted to know, and this is a question we wanted to ask you as well, given the success of Alek Manoah, is there another prospect in the organization that might be ready to take that step forward? As you said, Alek didn't have a lot of starts in the minors. It was a pretty significant step forward. Are there other minor leaguers in your system that we should maybe keep an eye on?
I guess I answer that instead by saying, you know, what's unique about him, you know, and I've seldom seen a young player with his level of experience that's better able to slow down to compete at the level he competes at. His compete level is just elite. His ability to separate pitch to pitch and make adjustments, you know, within his start, not just from start to start. So there's a unique mental makeup there. There's a unique level of competitiveness and confidence there. It's been very few guys I can ever remember in my career that have transitioned like he's transitioned and with the level of confidence and unflappability, even after tough moments and tough starts or high pressure environments. So I wouldn't want to put that label on anybody else or compare anybody else. There are a lot of players we're really excited about, but I think what I would say for a fan that, you know, may not have watched as much baseball as we have, you know, this guy is something special, and what he accomplished this year was incredibly impressive and unique.
Mark, I know you're a baseball man, and this time of the year, if you're a baseball man, this is the best time to be watching baseball. But I'd love to get your thoughts on how, when you sit down and watch playoff games, how do you watch them? Do you look at how long the games take? Do you look at the quality of the pitching, the base run? How do you watch a baseball game this time of the year?
Reluctantly, if we're not playing. I'll be honest with you, man. Like, I can't not watch, but I can't really watch. It's interesting. Like, my whole career's been like that. Like, I start off a night thinking I'm not going to watch the game, and I end up watching the game, but I'm not locked in, Kevin, the way I normally am. I think my takeaway is just, man, just reaffirming what I've always believed, just get in. You know, we're better than the hottest team in baseball right now. We were 6-0 against during the season, you know, and they had Acuna when we played them. So, you know, but they're the best team in baseball at this moment in time. And, you know, it just gets back to find a way to get in. And you do that enough and you got a chance to win a world championship. So, you know, the type of baseball that gets played when every single moment is heightened in importance, you know, it's going to be different. You know, I'm not sure what we can do about that. That's just the reality of the way decisions are made, games are managed, the time they take, all those things.
Last question before I let you run. We've already seen on social media Vladdy Jr., pictures of Vladdy Jr. working out. We know the strides he took literally and figuratively last offseason. Is his offseason program this year going to be any different than last year's?
I think that's a better question for Ross. I mean, I think my hope would just be that, you know, the discipline that and the maturity that he showed and strides and progress he made last year would be something that, you know, as any player becomes, you know, the player that, you know, is kind of the trademark that kind of resembles his career. You know, he was so incredibly young when he got here. I would think that he's learned some things about himself. Ultimately, players need to take accountability and ownership of their own career. There's no organization or manager or coach that can do that for them. So I think Vladdy is kind of learning himself, learning the impact of what that disciplined offseason provided for him and then in the commitment he sustained during the season. And we're always here to provide those resources and support.